you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and I'll be in Matthew 14. If you want to listen along or read along, either way, Matthew 14. Been waiting all week to preach this message, and hopefully it'll be a help to you. Matthew 14. I want to read verse 23 through 27 to start off with. In this passage, we'll turn to three different passages that are parallel passages in the Gospels. This story is in Matthew, Mark, and John, and we'll try to share these with you. So it says, and straightway, verse 22, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side, and he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, your word's wonderful. We thank you for the Bible. We pray today you'd speak to us. Lord, I pray that this would not be a spice in the outside of our souls, but something injected deep into it, the very fiber of our beings, Lord. And I pray we'd get this so it can help us the rest of our lives. We pray that your spirit would empower your word now, and you'd speak, and you'd give us what we need. Speak to hearts, Father, and help us to be calmed in our storms. We pray you'd please do a mighty work in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus had just fed 5,000 people. Right? The event before this story is 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Bread is handed out, and the fish are handed out, and they fed 5,000 people. And then they get done. There's all these thousands of people there, and Jesus tells the disciples, hey, I'll send everybody away. You guys go and get into the ship and sail to the other side, and we'll get back together later. And so I want you guys to go there. And so he begins to send the multitudes away, and he dismisses all of them and blesses them. And so the 5,000 scatter and go back. They're in the wilderness, and they're not in town. They go back to the cities. And so Jesus eventually is left alone. And he wants to get away from everybody so he can go pray. Now, I want to say this. Jesus went and prayed for a long time here. Verse 23, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain apart to pray. It's not uncommon for Jesus to do that. He went and he would go apart, and he commanded us in Matthew 6, 4, 5, 6, 7. He commanded us to enter into the closet and shut the door and pray to your Father in secret. Jesus went alone to the mountain to pray. I think if Jesus needed to get alone to pray, you probably do. Okay? I understand we're supposed to pray without ceasing. I think you're supposed to be praying all the time, and pray for food, and pray when you're with crowds, and pray all the time. We prayed in church. It's all good. Pray. That's all important to do that. But there is a separate time in the Bible where people went alone and isolated themselves away from people and prayed. And that's an important thing for you to do every day. I mean, and I recommend you pray out loud so your mind doesn't wander, because all of us have ADD, and we start praying and our mind starts thinking about everything else. I've never seen anybody, modern people who live in our society, in America, you can do it if you're from a different society, but Americans, they do not have the attention span to pray silently. Okay? Here's what you do. I'll tell you exactly what you do. Do what I do. You say, Lord, bless John and help John to keep serving you. And you know, John was driving that car Sunday. I wonder where he got that car. What happened to his old car? Man, my car. Oh, I forgot to do oil change today. Oh no. Man, I got to get that oil change, that car in my car. You know, I just got to get a new car. That car is so old and such a piece of junk. And, you know, but what's the insurance going to be on a new car? And pretty soon you're not praying for John anymore, are you? You know why? Because your mind has been controlled by the media for so long, and it just dragged everywhere, and your mind just, and that's just us, okay? And so you got to pray out loud. You got to confess your sins. And you gotta really tell God. Sometimes you gotta get passionate and cry out to God as they did in the Bible. So I recommend, and I know you might have a house with a lot of people and a little space, so shut the door. Go in the shower, turn the shower on, and pray out loud. Go for a walk, go into the forest. You know, you live in an area, you're not in the middle of Manhattan. It's surprising how many little nooks of forest there are you can go pray in and things like that. Kick everybody to the house. Go sit in the car and pray. There's a million things you can do. I used to drive 12 miles each way to get alone. I had a small house, I had 1200 square feet and I had seven of us and I just couldn't find a place to pray. So I used to drive out in the forest. And so Jesus went to the mount alone to pray. Okay. And I think you have to do that. And by the way, that will not happen without a time and a place. Those two things, never seen it happen. You don't have a place, you don't have a time, you don't make time for it, you will have something else to do and you won't get to it. You just got to make a time and a place. So Jesus sends them away and he goes and he's praying. It's still daytime, okay? And he goes off to pray. And when the multitudes were sent away, verse 23, he went to the mountain apart to pray. So he's praying. He sent the disciples away the verse before. And when evening was come, he was there alone. So he sent the disciples away. Evening hadn't come yet, and the disciples had been gone before it got dark, and so they're still gone. A huge storm comes in, and they all thought they would die for many hours. Verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed to the waves, for the winds were contrary, and the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them. The fourth watch in the Bible clock there, there's basically it's 3 a.m., okay, the Jewish day starts at 6, Jewish day starts at 6 a.m., and that's this time in the morning most of you haven't ever seen, where the sun is rising, and the sun does not pop up at noon, contrary to many people's belief, and God considered that it's 6 a.m., the start of the day, and then you work during the day, and 6 p.m. was the night, and then it was in watches, you know, every 3 hours, and so 3 in the morning. So the disciples went out there before dark, we know that, and it's 3 in the morning, and they are being thrown about, tossed about in the storm. Now, these weren't paranoid guys scared of 6-foot waves. These were professional fishermen, raised in fishermen's homes on the Sea of Galilee their whole life, and they are used to fishing. They're used to waves. They're used to storms. It's a stormy sea. And however, they're in a storm. These are not big boats. That boat probably was not from this wall to the back wall in this room. Very unlikely. Probably from this wall to the back people in the back row of there. Not a big boat. And it is being thrown about. And they say, we're dead. There's no way to survive the storm. We're going under. I mean, you can imagine this boat. It's dark. They don't have electricity. You can't light a lantern in that kind of storm. It's going to tip over and catch a boat on fire. It's dark. It's windy. It's loud. The boat is tipping. You ever seen a boat in a big storm? You ever seen a camera on a boat in a big storm? Years ago, I went to an IMAX and they had a small Coast Guard boat in a huge storm, and it was becoming airborne between the waves. It was awesome to watch on video. But it was an amazing thing. And just, the looks like the wave, I mean, you're going down and the wave's coming. It looks like you're just going to go straight through the wave and it's going to sink the boat. These guys in this wooden boat are thrown and thrashed and hanging on, and waves are coming over the top of the boat. And they think they're dead. And hours after hour after hour, they think death's coming. At 3 a.m., Jesus comes walking out on the water, just walking on the water. I'm going to give you a few thoughts out of this. The title of the message is Calm You, Not the Storm. Calm You, Not the Storm. Number one, first thing I want to say is Jesus sent them into the storm. I want you to get this. This wasn't a random act of nature. This wasn't because they were doing something bad. They weren't Jonah. Jonah went in the storm because he disobeyed God. Okay? They were in the storm because they obeyed God. Jesus sent them away in a boat into the storm. and he didn't go in the boat. Boy, can you imagine with our petty little minds? Yeah, send us in a storm. He doesn't get in the boat. Yeah, he knows everything. I bet he knew the storm was coming, and they sent us out there to die. He could at least gone with us in the boat. I want you to understand, God sent him in a boat. God sent him in a storm. They were in a storm because they were doing right. They were in this storm in the will of God. Please don't get this thing in your mind that if you do everything right and you do everything you're supposed to do, you're not going to go through storms in life. They were in the will of God. They were obeying God. They were doing what God told them to do, and they were in the storm. Now, there might have been people all over the Sea of Galilee in this storm who might have even died, who might not have been in God's hands. They were doing their own thing. The Bible says there's a specified group of people that God works all things together for. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. If you're not doing the will of God, then you just get caught in storms. But this storm was an ordained of God storm. We would rather have smooth sailing. We would rather say, okay, got in the boat, sail to the other side, let's go to the other side. Later on, we find it, and I think it's Mark that says it, we find out Jesus could still see them. And they find out, I guess, how many furlongs they were out. They're basically 3.5 miles away. They didn't get very far. 3.5 miles in, let's say, 6, 7, 8 hours. That's not moving too fast. That's I-5 on Friday night fast. I mean, that's not, you're not going anywhere. And so sometimes you think, I'm having storms and I'm not getting anywhere. I'm trying to get there. When I'm supposed to go to the other side, I'm not getting to the other side. I must have done something wrong. I must be messed up. I must be wrong. God must not be watching. Something, listen. God sent him into the storm. That's the world we live in. Matter of fact, you don't learn much outside the storms. Not much grows on mountaintops. Things grow in valleys. And you don't grow much in life at the highest point of your life. You usually grow at the low points. And God sent him into the storm. Number two, they almost missed him. Verse 26, 25, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking in the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking in the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. They literally thought he was a ghost. They're out there in the middle of the ocean, pitch black, rocking, waves over, splashing, hanging on to things, dark, pelting rain. Ships tilting and going every direction. And then they look out and say, what is that? And they see something walking across, going across the water toward them. Now, what goes across the top of the water? It's not a ship. It's just walking. And they're scared. Strangest thing, a little bit interesting note, and God's so amazing. That's why he has three different chronicles of it, because it chronicles a little, they never contradict, but they just a little more detail. In these things, look at Mark. Look at this story in the book of Mark. In chapter 6. And verse 48, same story. And it says this, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. About the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking in the sea, notice this, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. I could tell you how many times God is right there. Many times God's intervening. You just miss him. Matter of fact, Jesus wasn't headed right toward the boat. Isn't that strange? He would have walked right by him. If they wouldn't have cried out. That's what it said. He was walking by the boat. It'd been fun to be Jesus. They're all sweating it out. You're just walking over the wave. Just walking on by. Trying to wonder, are they going to notice me? Well, when they notice me, boy, they are going to be scared. And just walking on by. And they are going, and he's walking by them. And fortunately, they cried out and said, oh, no, it's a spirit. It's bad enough. There's a storm. And now there's a ghost coming out here. It's probably from the last storm. Ah! And they're freaked out. And they're scared. And they're crying out. Why did God send us out here? Why did Jesus send us out here? Now he's walking in the water. Our lack of faith makes us almost miss him. Most people miss the Lord in the storm. He only helps when we cry out. You know, you worrying in the storm isn't getting God to do anything. God never blesses worry. Will you please remember that? The Bible commands you not to worry. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. The Bible says, take no thought of the morrow, for the morrow should take thought of itself. Worrying does not get God involved in the slightest. Crying out to him gets him involved. Quit worrying. Start praying. And the peace of God will keep you. Quit worrying. Worrying fixes nothing. Listen, if you're worried about your health, and you worry about it, can I tell you? The tumor doesn't go away because you're worrying. Doctor says, huh, that tumor went away. You must have been worrying a lot because that always makes them get smaller and smaller. Worry as much as you can. Doesn't work that way. Matter of fact, worrying damages your body. You know, if you worry about your finances, your wallet does not fill up as you worry. Otherwise, you'd be a millionaire. Just doesn't. The Bible says, don't worry. Be careful for nothing. Be full of care for nothing. Pray about it. He wanted to see if they'd cry out to him. He wanted to see if they would need him. He wanted to answer prayer. Their only hope is to cry out. Most people miss the Lord in the storm. Sometimes God sends someone to you, and that's God's answer. And somebody's there to help you. Sometimes God sends an answer, and it's not the answer you wanted, so you miss God in the storm. Stop the storm! I'll just come to you in the storm. I want to say, Jesus coming to you in the storm is better than him stopping the storm. They almost missed him. Number three, our lack of faith often makes us think that he does not care. Let's go back to Mark. Our lack of faith makes us often think that he does not care. Let's look at Mark chapter 4. Different storm. Jesus is in the boat at this time. Storm's raging. Boat's about to sink. Jesus is sleeping downstairs. Mark chapter 4 in verse 38. And when he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care we're going to die? You know your lack of, and by Jesus rebukes him for the lack of faith. He rose, rebuked the wind, said to them, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Listen, he says, "They don't you care? You know, that's what the devil tries to tell you right there. God doesn't care. Look what you're going through. Where's God? God doesn't care. He doesn't care about you, or you wouldn't be going through this. Or he might even send you in the storm and then he doesn't go with you in the boat. The devil wants you to think that God does not care. Yet how opposite of that is true. We'll find out in the book of John, he was looking at him. Then he goes to them. He cares. How can they possibly say, you don't care. He said, not one sparrow falls to the ground that I don't know about. I was flying one time over the Cascades and looking down at all those trees and realizing there's no overpopulation problem. And looking down there and thinking, you know, God knows every single pine needle and every single tree down there. No sparrow can fall to ground. All the hairs of our head are numbered. For some of us, make it easier for him. And he knows everything. I know you're on the boat. I know there's a storm. I sent you into it. I'm here in the storm. I'm here with you. But God, who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely give us all things? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, if God gave his son for us, he obviously loves us and cares. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He knew about the storm. He cared about the storm. He cared about them. It's our lack of faith and us thinking that we shouldn't have storms if God's involved. It makes us think that he does not care. That's the devil's lie. Next, we are not patient and we think he is too late. Let's look at John, the story in the book of John there. Look at the details there. John chapter 6. We are not patient and think he is late. We don't like his timing. Remember that? Carest thou not that we perish? And look at verse 19. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking in the sea and drawing nigh to the ship, and they were afraid. Now, they're not very far out. 3.5 miles. He gets there at 3 a.m. Hey, why did you wait? You know how many hours? Let's say it got dark. Let's say it got dark late. Let's say it got dark there at 10. We're talking 5 hours in this storm. Let's say it gets maybe 6 hours. They're dying. They know they're dying. They know the ship's not going to last. They know they're not going to be able to row. They're rowing as hard as they can. They're not getting anywhere. The ship's not going to hold up. They know they can't make it. Why can't you just come when the first wind blew up? Carest thou not that we perish in the other storm? They do not necessarily like his timing. John chapter 11 with Lazarus' resurrection, they said, Lord, if you had been here when we came, when he called you, he had not died. Because he took 3 days to get there when he could have just went there that day. He said, I didn't come on purpose. Wasn't time for me to come. We're an impatient society. Listen, we are in microwave world. You know, if you had to go back to your internet you started off with, you wouldn't do the internet. I mean, remember 14K internet or whatever it was? And see, when you got it to 64, you were. And now, this is like, this has been like 3 seconds this page isn't loaded yet. The video is skipping. Reload, 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 reload. Refresh, refresh, refresh. We're in this society. We're crazy. I get impatient at long stoplights. I mean, you know how long it took to go the Oregon Trail, Independence, Missouri to Oregon City, Oregon? And I get Ken Des Moines Road red. I'm going to grow a beard at this light. Good night. What's wrong? And so you're in a storm. And the storm isn't abating. You're saying, why isn't the storm? Come on. We could have been the other side by now. We're not getting anywhere. You ever feel like you're not getting anywhere and you feel like you just can't handle it? Not getting anywhere. We're 3.5 miles in 8 hours. It's not uncommon in the Bible for us to be impatient, for us to wonder when God's going to do something. Let me read you a bunch of Psalms that say this. Psalm chapter 6. Oh boy, I got a bunch of them. I'll just go through them quickly. Verse 3, my soul is sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Psalm 13, verse 1, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? I want to say this. They were in the storm for a long period of time. No appearance of God. No intervention of God. Like God didn't know anything that was going on. The Lord didn't care. And God was hiding his face. God was not doing anything for them in this. That is okay. You do not have to see God until you have to see God. The Lord can hide his face. The Lord can stand afar off. He's still watching. We parents do it all the time. Go to this job, and then we just hide around the corner and see if they're okay. If God was just bailing you out and fixing everything and standing there with you in the storm every single time and every single thing in life, you would not learn faith. You would become this dependent, can't do it yourself, can't go try, can't get on a bike without the training wheels type person. God's watching. He threw you in the water. Learn how to swim. If you start drowning, they'll pull you out. But it's okay for you to learn from the storm and say, Lord, how long before you're going to, Lord, I need you here. But he says, you can still make it for a while. Trust me. Show faith in this. Trust me that I will be there when you need me. I can calm the storm. I can fix the situation. Do not. But how long? We always wonder, how long, Lord? And you'd be surprised. You're not at the end yet. You still have some time. Psalm 35. It's very common for us to say, Lord, how long are you going to do this? How long are you going to put me in this situation? How long are you going to stand far off? How long are you going to try me in this? How long before you're going to bless me? How long before I'm going to reap for this thing I've been doing? How long am I going to suffer and be worried and stressed out? How long before I'm going to get ahead financially? How long before this relationship's fixed? How long before they're saved? Lord, I'm in a storm. I need to know how long. God says, cricket, 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 cricket. But those with faith say, Lord, how long? But I know you're going to come through. But any time now, be great. Psalm 35, verse 17. Lord, how long will thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destruction, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks. He says, I got enemies and they're just messing me up. Lord, how long before you're going to take care of my enemies? You'll feel that. Psalm 89. How long before you're going to fix this situation? Lord, they're ahead. They're getting ahead and I'm not doing well. People are standing against me and I'm trying to do the right thing and it seems like they're prospering. How long before you're going to come through? Nothing wrong with asking how long. Just trust him that he knows when to get to the boat. Psalm 89, verse 46. How long, Lord, will thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Oh, let's see. Psalm 90, verse 13. Return, O Lord, how long? And let repent thee concerning thy servants. Even when they've done wrong, they're saying, Lord, how long before you're going to start blessing again? You don't know. We're not patient, and we think God is late. We think God has not gotten there in time. Why didn't God come at midnight? Midnight's a good Bible hour. A lot of things happen at midnight. What about 1? 3 a.m.? Let's go back to our verse in Matthew 14. You know, if one of the disciples said, hey, guys, listen. Hey, Jesus sent us out here. Remember the storm before? He just fed 5,000 people. You know what? I'm trusting Jesus. I don't know what's going to happen. But you know what? Jesus sent us out here. We're going to be just fine. Boy, Jesus, as he did when people had the faith, would have praised them like crazy. And looking back, I'm sure I would have done that. Right? We would have done it. Amen? Matthew 14. Sorry, back at our passage. Matthew 14. The biggest thing I want to say today. He wants us calm, happy, and trusting no matter what the storm is doing. Here's what your mind said the story. They go out. Storm comes. They're tossed in the storm. They're scared to death. Jesus walks in the water. Peter says, if it's you, Lord, bid me to walk into the water. Jesus says, come. Peter goes out, walks in the water, walks over there. Jesus says, peace be still. The storm is fine. And he said, it's I, be not afraid, and everybody's restful and peaceful. This isn't the way it happens. Jesus comes to them, and he speaks to them. They're scared. Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and said, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Okay? So, see Jesus, he's walking on water. They say, ah! Jesus says, it is I, be not afraid. Peace. Relax. Don't be afraid. That's what he says. Why aren't you afraid? Because it's me. That's it. The only reason Jesus said, don't be afraid, is because he said, it's me. Now, here's three different apostles wrote this same story. Three different people who traveled with him told him the same story. He's walking on the water. They all said, he said, peace be still. Then Peter said, if it's you, Lord, tell me to walk to you. Peter gets out of the boat. Jesus has come. He gets out of the boat and Peter's walking on the water. And then it says, Peter starts looking at the wind and the waves and he starts sinking. When he took his eyes off Jesus, he sank. When your eyes are on Jesus, you can walk on water. You're fine when your eyes are on Jesus. You're messed up when your eyes are on your storm. Okay? Watch. Verse 30. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, Jesus saved him again when he cried out. Now, what's the important thing here? What was he looking at? Storm. Was there still waves? Was there still wind? Did Jesus say, peace be still before this? Jesus said to you, to them, he said, hey, be of good cheer. You know what be of good cheer means in the Bible? It means be happy. He says, be happy. It's I. Don't be afraid. The storm was still raging. That's everything. Later, he calms the storm. He told them, be happy and don't be afraid. I'm here. While the storm was still going. See, because you know what we want? All right, Lord, get me out of this storm, and then I'll praise you and trust you and tell you how good you are. No. He wants you to be, wow, what a storm, Lord. I'm not afraid at all. I trust you. I'm fine. I want you to come. I want you to fix the storm. I trust you to do it. But you know what? I'm doing just great. While your storm is still going. And you keep on going through your life, keep on waiting till, okay, this, my finances will get settled here, and then my health will be good, and finally I'll get this done, and this will be fixed, and I'll be fine, and then I'll be able to relax and be happy. And how many times has that happened? You want God to be your deliverer from storms. He wants to be the one who calms you in storms. He wants you calm more than he wants a storm calm. Later he calms the storm. But he needed to teach them to be happy because he's there and be relaxed because I'll take care of you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Remember, guys, I was sleeping in the boat. The boat wasn't going to sink. I had to go to the cross. Relax. Why'd you have so little faith? Feeds 5,000. And the end of this story, he says, you forgot about the I just fed 5,000. Do you think I could take care of a storm? Let's look at let's go a little farther. In verse 30, he says, when he saw the wind boisterous, he's afraid and began to sink. He cried, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they're come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. In Mark, he says, why are you so little faith? You forgot that I just fed 5,000. The sermon is, quit trying to get all the storms calm. Be of good cheer and be not afraid because God's with you. I'm 45. I haven't had a whole lot of times when there weren't a storm. There's always something to worry about, isn't there? As a matter of fact, when I have nothing to worry about, I start worrying. It's going too good here. You ever said everything's going too good? You ever have that? Listen, and by the way, I've been serving the Lord, never left the will of God since I was 16, and I still have lots of storms. You know what? I've just learned to be happy in the Lord anyway. It's a good day. Any day's a good day above ground. It's a good day. I'm saved. Jesus is my Savior. My name's in the book of life. No matter what happens in this crazy world, I'm going to heaven. Body's having problems, I get a new one in heaven. I'm just driving my used model. I'm getting my new car when I get home. I'm not too worried. Listen, there needs to be a peace and a calmness and a faith in a Christian's life that just says, man, whoa, this is tough. Man, this is, I don't know what I'm going to do, but you know, Lord, it's going to be fine. I trust you. That when your non-Christian relatives and neighbors look at you, they say, didn't your engine just blow? And you say, yeah, it blew, but Lord will take care of me. It'll be fine. Not speaking in tongues that are known tongues and throwing wrenches at your car. Not being angry. Listen, is there any difference between your circumstances and how they affect you and how you're doing in the world? When you're right, you have peace that passes understanding. You have a peace that no man can shake. My peace no man takes from you, Jesus said. My joy no man takes from you. He says, you know, when I give you these things, it is not circumstances and happiness and life and all the things that are going right that make you happy. That's the world. They have money, they have health, they have relationships, they're happy. You are mine. You be calm. You be peaceful in the storm. God is still in charge. It's me. And Jesus said, be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You've been saved. You have Jesus. You don't need everything to be going right, to be okay. You might ask a good Christian, how are things going? They say, terrible. They say, how are you doing? I'm doing great. Amen. Good preaching. It's good preaching. How are things going? Terrible. How are you doing? Great. Doing just fine. How long, oh Lord? Lord, I trust you. You know what you're doing. But any old time, you want to show up and fix this thing. And he'll fix it in the end. But he wants to see if you'll learn to be calm during the storm. He wants you to see if him being with you is enough. Have you done everything right and things went wrong everywhere anyway? Listen, and then what the devil says, you did it all wrong. You messed up. God didn't love you. God's putting you through this. Where is God? Listen, how about you just say, devil, get out of here. Take a long walk and a short pier. Lord, you're good. I trust you. I don't know why. I don't like this, Lord. It's not fun. But Lord, the winds are blowing. I'm trusting you. I do not ask you necessarily to remove the storms right now. I ask you to give me calm and peace in the storm. And sometime when it's the right time, remove the storm. Quit being circumstance-driven and be God-driven. He'll calm the storm. He did. He got in the boat. Why? If you could have done that, you could walk on water. You get in the boat, storm stops. We've been here. No. Just say, I don't know why I didn't come, Jesus. I don't know why I had to go through the storm. But you know, next time I'll have faith. He said, that's why it took so long. You needed faith. To God, him being there just settles it. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He told him, don't let your hearts be troubled. But he just said before that, I'm going away, but don't let your hearts be troubled. Let your heart be peaceful because you've been born again. Your home is heaven. I'm your Savior, and lo, I'm with you always. Be content with such things you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Listen, I cannot tell you how to not have storms. I can just tell you how to be calm in them. I cannot tell you he'll calm the storm when you want. I can just tell you he can calm you in the storm. Storm will calm later, but if you're calm, doesn't matter when the storm calms. You're okay. So quit being a person who lives your life miserable in all your storms and waiting for a moment that hasn't happened yet. Tomorrow I'm going to come home from work. My body will not have any more aches. My mortgage is paid. My wife will have dinner ready for me. We'll wrap her arms around my neck and say, I love you so much. And everything is going to go. The kids will be totally obedient. Everything's going to go perfect. Nothing's going to happen. No bills are coming in this month. Listen, keep on waiting. And the devil keeps on making you look forward to somewhere where you never are. He keeps making you look forward to somewhere you never are and keeps you miserable in the meantime because the promise someday is going to come. It will. Just you'll be dead then. It's called eternity in heaven. Until then. Oh, you know what? Oh, man, that stinks. But you know what? God's good. I'm okay. The peace which passes understanding keeps your hearts and minds. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. Lord, help us to be calm in the storms. Help us to quit living our lives trying to get storms calmed, but try to learn to be calm in the storm. And realize you're with us and trust you. Thank you for our Savior who comes to us in the storms and is with us in the storms and will help us through the storms. We'll calm when it's time. But Lord, we've got to realize that it's not the calming of the storm that fixes things. It's your presence. Peace. Be not afraid. It is I. Don't worry. Be of good cheer. These phrases you use for them to relax because you were there. You sent them into the storm. You came to them in the storm. You got them out of the storm. But Lord, in between, there's a lot of lack of faith. I pray today we'd be people who today, right now, trust you and get the peace of God. We pray about things and get the rest of God, the joy of God. We pray we get these things. Thank you for them. Lord, it's a wonderful thing to experience. Thank you that you really do that for those who do this. And I pray today we'd get there. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Are you the one waiting for the storm